Awesome. Well, welcome to Gifts of Spirit Ministry Fellowship. This is good to be back. It took longer to hear from the Lord than I've ever had. I've been up there. I go up to Albert Lea. It's a motel. It's over there. It's a Best Western. It's pretty nice. And pull in there, and there's one time I got there, and I got down at the desk, pulled my computer out, sat at the desk, and the Lord told me what I needed, and I could immediately left, but I stayed that night and came back the next day. So normally I'm there about 2 days, actually, 3 days. I take off, get there, and then I have a couple nights there and then leave the next day. And I get everything I need to know. It's fast, it's quick, it's not hard at all. This time, it took 3 days before I could hear anything. It was just that long. It was that much pressure that was on. As those who were here on the family fellowship night, not last week, but the week before when I was here on a Wednesday, there was some things that happened and I just totally blew up. I mean, I literally blew up. I said some things. I don't remember everything I said. It was just one of those bad deals. And I said, Lord, this is horrible. I know I did say I didn't feel like I should have been there that night because there was just too much pressure going on me. And some things said or things happened and just set me off. And I don't like doing that. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So I had to sit there and really figure out what was going on. And what I found out was it was the frustration. The frustration was so high. It wasn't just that night. It was everything else that was happening. It started that morning. Early. It went all day long. And it was just, you know, I don't know if you guys ever have any problems with everything falling on the floor. I do. I know that Wednesday we had my papers fall on the floor. My glasses fell on the floor. That's on a Wednesday night. That was just part of the day. You had to see the rest of the day. It just gets so old. And I don't know if that's something the enemy likes to use to get my buttons pushed. I don't know. But it's miserable. So anyway, I took and I've repented, and I did that night. I said, I'm sorry, I repent, because if I shouldn't have been here, I shouldn't have said what I did. It was nothing against anybody. It wasn't anybody that said anything that caused me to do it. It was just pressure. And I was just under that and frustration that has been building up on me for some time. So that's when Debbie says, I think you need to get away, which I'd been feeling that way. So we did. We set things up, and I went up there and planned on being there 4 days, and I ended up being there 6 days, I think it was, come back on the 7th. So after the first 3 days, I started to hear from the Lord. That's what I just told you in the earlier when I was telling about it was in the last 3 days. It was actually the middle of the last 3 days. I was driving home from the restaurant back to the motel, and that's when the Holy Spirit hit me, and I started driving it. I mean, I got a lot of revelation and knowledge. I just want to thank Debbie for taking care of while we were gone, as she was not sure about teaching, and she decided to do on the rolls, and we've had that when we went for Married for Life, for couples, but she was trying to figure out how to do it for the whole church. And I think when she was telling me what she was saying, I thought she did a really good job on it, talking that way. And so we were blessed that she could step in and do that. So I started to go back and just ask the Lord what was going on, and he keeps bringing me back to the Apostolic Cell Church book that I have. It was the one I got when I first became ordained through World Ministry Fellowship. I was in Fairfield, Iowa, and all of a sudden the state director, which was an apostle, And it was a lady, and her name was B.B. Rail. She was quite unique. She was tall, she's thin, and she had peach pink hair. And it might change. It might be green the next week, the next day. You never know what's going to happen. She was quite unique, very unique. And she came out of the gurus, and she was on fire for God. And so anyway, we were there, and we had to talk with her to find out if we were qualified to be a member. if they accepted, so on and so forth, and they had to send paperwork into the company or into the ministry. And through that whole process, she spoke into our life. She's the only person that has really told us right, just read her mail. Just sat there and just boom, boom, boom. And I'm thinking, she didn't know any, doesn't even know us. And it was awesome. I said, it was so great. And she gave me, she said, this book, you need it. I says, oh, it was an apostolic cell book. That's because I'd been praying for all these years on what to do, you know, because I said, I'm sick and tired of the Christians losing a victory. And I said, not my will, but thy will. And Father, what do you want? I know, being around church, what the church wants and how they think and what's going on, how the denomination works and everything else. And I says, I don't care about anything. I don't want to put my own idea or viewpoints on it. I want to know what you want. So I said, not my will, but thy will. At that time, I made a covenant with the Father, an agreement in which a promise that I would do what he wanted me to do. It's not been easy, especially with Debbie, because she doesn't understand the things that the Lord gives me. So we've been blessed that we were still going the way we're going. So as I was reading that book, when I'd read it, I would say something out of the book, and she says, I've heard this before. I've heard that before. I've heard that before, because it was exactly the blueprint to what the Lord had been telling me, which is actually what we've set up. That's why I'm saying, Father, there's a lot of issues going on, and I'm having a hard time figuring all this out, and that's a lot of my frustration. So I was sitting there and going back through that, because I had books, and we let people look in, and for some reason we didn't get them back, and no big deal. It just, the fact is, I was kind of really wanting to see one, and Sarah found one online for $9, so she got it, and we got it back, and we're reading it, and that was awesome. I start seeing what it all was about. Why? What does he really want? It's not about me. It's not about religion. It's not about anything. It's just what he wants. And I said, wow, because that's my heart's desire, to set people free, to give them victory. I've seen so many people walking around in churches for years, but never had no victory. They're still miserable. They're still rotten. They're still dealing with issues they've dealt with many years ago. And I said, man, this is wrong, Father. I don't know how to do it. Tell me. So this is what I started out with when I was up there. And I mean, it took me 3 days to get to the point where I could get anything, to figure anything out. Because I did do some studying and reading and praying and all that, and it just wasn't coming till the fourth day. And in that process, I sat down and started reading the book. And in that book, it was saying, the man had got a revelation from Joshua 5. I says, yeah, I know about Joshua 5, but I didn't really get any revelations out of it. I read that this book before of the Apostolic Cell Church and never really got any revelation out of it. But when I sat down this time, there was revelation. And I'm going to tell you about the revelation. Revelation is one thing. It's what you receive and what you get a revelation or a knowledge of deeper than what you had before. It's your experience. I can get all the experience and revelation I want and give it to you, and you can say, wow, that was good, and walk down the road and never affect you. I've had things that I've learned, and then all of a sudden Debbie will come up and she'll say, you won't believe this guy was talking about this, and start saying, I said, yeah, I already knew that way back when. Because she hadn't got the revelation. I got a revelation of it a long time ago. She once in a while gets something and starts speaking to me, and I'm saying, oh, that's a revelation I've never heard. But it'll never be my revelation until I seek it to find out what God wants from that for me. And this is one of the areas we do. We don't seek it. We hear all these words. You know, everything is so simple. It's all in a package. And if we ever got serious with God from the very beginning, whew, we'd be far from where we're at right now. The city would be far from where we are. You know, it's not coming against anybody. It's just something that we do. You know, I've gone to church all these years. I've seen all this. I've heard all that. And guess what? I'm still not doing a lot of it. You know, I'm saying, whoa, it's been there. It's been in front of me. But that's human nature. See, it's what you want. It's how you want it. What you're looking for. That's where you usually get the revelations of. So I sat and I was reading that book, and I hit Joshua 5. And he started talking about it, and I got a revelation. It's the same understanding I had before, but I didn't have the revelation to make it happen. And this is what the Lord wants. Honestly, this is what I see God wants. That's what we're set up to do when we haven't achieved it because of my inabilities to bring it to pass. I'm telling you right now, I repent and apologize for it. I will change, and this will start to be developed, and it will be reproduced in others because this is what needs to come forth. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they usually don't teach much out of the Old Testament because we're in the New Testament. I want to set up the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven on earth culture is what I'm looking for. A kingdom of heaven on earth culture. It's different than what we did in the Old Testament. But there's principles from the Old Testament that go along with the new the kingdom of God culture. And it started out Joshua 1:15. When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all of the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean, you know. Why'd you read that, dear?
When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them.
Okay. And in the book, the man was saying, could you imagine if you had that happen and you realized all these kings that you were going to come against and war against them? This would be the greatest opportunity to go take them out because they're fearful. That's a big weapon. If you come against somebody that's fearful, you got a better chance of winning if they're strong and believe they can beat you. And so in our own understanding, I can understand while he was thinking that way. Could you imagine Joshua said, man, they're fearful. We're here. Let's go. Many times I've seen people go before God told them to go, and they got themselves in trouble. I watched it. I've seen it. I've done it myself. One time, I just knew that I was supposed to go to Bible college. I had a job, but I had to go to Bible college. And I wasn't going to go till that fall because I had to get some money saved up so we could go. And I told my wife and another friend of ours, which was a Christian, and through that process, they both said, no, that's not of God. Yes, I heard it from God. And when you first start growing, sometimes you hear things. And then when you hear something, because what you hear and what you want can sometimes be so close, you intermingle the two and you cause yourself problems. I'm telling you right now, unless you really have a full understanding of what God is telling you to do, you've got to leave yourself out. If you don't, you get yourself in trouble. I kept saying, well, I'm going to college. I kept thinking that way. That fall, I was looking for colleges. I was looking Bible colleges and get stuff going. Going that way. And they kept saying, that's not God. That's not God. That's not God. I said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then all of a sudden, I told my boss this fall, and this is like in, that was May. I said, this fall, I'm going to college, Bible college. 2 weeks later, I lost my job. Man, I never went to Bible college. It wasn't God, it was me. And that happens all so often. We go way before God wants us to go. We do things before God wants us to do because we aren't listening to what the Lord really wants. And when we hear something, immediately we have a tendency to put our own desires and understandings and wants and needs onto it. So be careful when you do that. Because what happened to Joshua? He went and it's called in the Bible, I was looking at, Israel reestablished a covenant ceremony. So you want to read that? It's Joshua 5:2-8.
At that time, the Lord told Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the second generation of Israelites. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel at
Gilbreth and Haralots or whatever.
No. That place. So Joshua had to circumcise them because all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died in the wilderness. Those who left Egypt had all been circumcised, but none of those born after the Exodus during the years of the wilderness had been circumcised. The Israelites had traveled in the wilderness for 40 long years until all the men were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died, for they had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed he would not let them enter the land he had sworn to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Joshua circumcised their sons, those who had grown up to take their father's place, for they had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land. After all the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. Thank God for that. Yeah.
And could you imagine this is... No, not that, but Joshua said, but Lord, these guys, these kings are fearful. I want to go and take them out now because we got a great weapon. Weapons, you know, fear is a weapon. You can do things. But if they get strong and think they can defeat us, we'll have more problem. And God says, no. See, that's what happened to some of us. We want to do something, and God says, no. Why? Because you're not in line with God's word. It said over there in, where was it? 6. It says, for they had disobeyed the Lord. And because they had disobeyed the Lord, they would not enter the land that was sworn to them. Even though it was to give them, they denied what the Lord wanted, and he would not let them enter into the kingdom, or into the land that was given to them. And that was a promise. That was things that happened. So this is like, wow, okay, Lord, as you go along that, because it was the promised land. And then the other thing, they hadn't circumcised their son. And the first thing I thought about it, wow, is that God is a covenant-keeping God. This is why they had to reestablish God's covenant ceremony by circumcising so they could take and go in and have victory. If you don't believe that, you can go back to Exodus 4:24-26. On the journey when Moses and his family were stopped for the night, the Lord confronted Moses. Who confronted Moses? The Lord. The Lord came down. I mean, this just blew me away when I first seen this, because Moses was about, and it came, you know, was it in the night the Lord confronted Moses and was about to kill him. When I first read that, I said, wait, he saved him. All the children were being killed, but they put him in the water and they went to Pharaoh's daughter. She picked him up. Even his mother nursed him, took care of him, raised him up in the Pharaoh's home until he went out and seen his people and he got in trouble and he ran. God saved him. Why is God going to kill him? If you don't have that revelation, that's a revelation. God is going to kill him. Why? He saved him. He's sending him to get Israel, his children, out of bondage. But he's going to kill him. You got to realize that. So what happened was, it said, but Zipporah, his wife, took a flint knife and circumcised her son. She threw the foreskin at Moses' feet and said, what a blood-smeared bridegroom you are to me. When she called Moses a blood-smeared bridegroom, she was referring to the circumcision. After that, the Lord left him alone. What was the key factor in that. If you can go back, and it doesn't say, but you can imagine Moses didn't grow up around the law of the Israelites. He might have knew them since he was gone, but he wasn't thinking about circumcising his son. Do you think the Lord, why would the Lord kill Moses? Because he hadn't circumcised his son. He was not going to get victory. He would not be able to move the Israelites out of Egypt. Why? Right here. For he was disobedient to God. And the Lord vowed they would not let him enter the land that had sworn to give him. Now, if you think about that, if they're not going to get, I mean, they went through the desert. All the people from, of the Israelites came out. It's all their children because all the old ones died because they're all disobedient. They came in and they went across the river and they're sitting there waiting. And all of a sudden, God says, you can't go. You aren't going to get victory. They'll kill you all. He didn't actually say that in the word, but you're not going to get victory. I can't bless you. You broke my covenant. And you know, God honors his word. If he did it to their parents that didn't make it into the promised land and they all died out, how are they going to allow their children to enter in with being disobedient? So that's why Joshua had to take and circumcise all the men. And that put them back a few days. These guys had to wait and get healed up before they could go when he do any warring. So again, these kings are probably sitting there, this is just kind of thinking, well, they're not coming after us. We got it made. The fear probably left a little bit. Maybe, maybe not. But the fact is, there was a time there where Joshua was wanting to do what he was supposed to do, and he couldn't do it because he had a delay in his plans. Let's put it that way. You get the revelation from God. The first foundation that I was supposed to build into this place is circumcision of your heart. Circumcision of your heart. The first step to victory requires painful circumcision of your heart. Most people I minister to have deep hurts and belief systems due to words spoken over them, words they speak over themselves, teasings and physical actions done to them. What they've learned from their parents, what they've learned from their siblings, what they've learned from their school teachers, all these are real strong strongholds in a person's life. When you start to have those in there, there's a hindrance. It comes down to one thing. The other one is changing your heart in such a way you just want to do the will of the Father. That's why I was not doing that when I was younger until I hit about, 32? A little older than that, I guess it was. 1980, around 82, right in that area. I said, Lord, not my will, but thy will. I circumcised my heart. I got my fleshly desires out. I always go back and I the Lord keeps taking me back to it, so that's why I always use it. The final quest. When Rick Joyner was there and talking to Paul. And he says, the ministries that you're doing right now, the message isn't the same as what we did. And basically because he died daily. Picking up your cross. I didn't know what that really meant till I read that vision. And I read it many years ago when it first came out in the 90s, but then I just doing it here lately, the last few years. And I realized that when you pick up your cross, you die to your fleshly desires. That's circumcising your heart. That's when you start to stop and ask. That's why when it came up about on a Wednesday night, somebody said something about Howard Pittman. That's why I went back and I looked at Howard Pittman. Testimony, because he was here. And he actually said he had done all the good things. He'd been the pastor. He was a Baptist pastor. He went through all this. He had adopted children. He'd done all those good things. And but when he died of a heart attack and went to heaven, he said he wanted to ask the Father to come back to this earth to finish out his life. And so he did. But when he was standing there by the gates waiting for the Father to say something, what he was going to allow him to come back or not, he says, I'm doing fine. I've done all these great, magnificent things. And all of a sudden, he took and he said, when the Lord came, he says, who do you think you are? You've done nothing for me. You've only done everything for yourself. Self-satisfaction. Some of the things that we do is nothing more than self-satisfaction because we haven't circumcised our heart. We haven't asked the Father, what does he want? That was the same thing when I was getting ready and I was coming back from Waterloo. And I was seeing that field where we were plowing, and that plow, and I was pushing it, and people were locked around my elbows, and we were, you know, pushing the dirt off of this field. And up on the hill, there's people playing, having a great time, a big party going on up there. And I said, Father, I'd rather go up there and then stay here. I had people calling me, say, we've gotten revival here. We can use what, you know, you're praying, your gifts and what you have. Come over. Come, we need you. Come. And I'm thinking, I'll ask the Father. So I'd ask the Father, Lord, they want me over there. I'm willing to lay this down if you want me to go over there. He says, stay the course. And I'm thinking, why? It's hard. Nothing's happening. It's ridiculous. Stay the course. I said, okay. So I did that. We went all the way through until finally it was done. And I understand now why. But this is one of the first things that we need to do when a person comes into this place. We need to get to know them, understand them, and help them to get their hearts circumcised. Get the hurts out. Get the pains out. That's why we've gone through. One time I shut everything down and said, we're going through plumb line. That was the purpose, to find out where the hurts, the pains were, get the people set free so that they could have more victory in their life. Because if you don't, it's just like the vision that I've seen. The guy was out fighting like crazy. He had all the armor on. He was doing a great job for God. And then all of a sudden, I seen the devil off the side. He was sitting on a rock, rocking back and forth. And he says, he's laughing at him. I says, he's laughing at him. He's doing a great job. And I look back at the guy, and there's a bullseye right there with arrows. And then on both front and back. And I look back at the devil, and he goes, whew, it goes right through the armor. That's not what the word says. But it went right through the armor and hit him, and he says, oh, I can't do anything. I'm so worthless. Oh, this is no good. Bye, 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 bye. That sounded like me for many years. I'd be going out praying for people. People were getting set free, delivered, and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, this arrow would hit me where I was hurting in my heart, and I would just shut down. God, you're no good. I'm no good. I can't do anything. I'm worthless. How can you use a no good bum like me? That's what I used to say about myself, because I had a stronghold in my heart that I didn't have taken out. And that was, I didn't know the love that God loved me so much. Until I finally received how much he loved me, there's things I couldn't do. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't have that. There's things that was going on that, you know, he's giving me things because I have that love in my heart, not just the love of God. Everybody has the love of God because when you ask Jesus Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit, which is love, it says when the Holy Spirit comes in Acts 1:8, you will have power. What is power? Love. We get a power, you know, boxing. I like that. You know, I'm going to bang these people around. I'm going to beat these devils up. I've heard, come on, send that devil. I said, don't say that. You just opened your door for the devil to knock you out. Because they didn't understand the truth. And I watched them get knocked out. You can't do that. They got power too. The angels won't even come against them. So they took and when I got that in my heart, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to mess up big time. I'm terrible. I don't know how you can ever use me. But Father, you love me, and I know you will never stop loving me, and I can do all things through you. That's the key. And when your heart is crucified and saying, not my will, but your will, and I start seeing and hearing all these things, and I says, Father, What about that? I asked the Holy Ghost, what do you want me to do? He says, stay the course. Keep going. I'm thinking, this is hard. He says, no, keep going. There's great things what he set up. That was what's supposed to be doing in this, the very first foundation. When people come in, they're a mess. And they got a lot of things that need to be cleaned out of their hearts. Hurts and pains and situations, even they're living in today, can be bad things. And if you don't get rid of them, this is what has to happen. And this is what I'm going to start working and changing and giving people the opportunity. Now, people don't have to change. They can do what they want. And the fact is, but they will have an opportunity to change, and we will continue going, and we'll get more people in, and we will work with them to change them and get them to the place they need to be. Very first situation. The reason I say that, the first thing that you need to have to be set free is to have your heart locked on the Lord without a bunch of junk. That's where our discipleship course is. If you haven't been through a discipleship course, you need to talk to us and get us through there, because it's very simple, it's very basic, and sometimes it doesn't seem like much, but I'll tell you, the power of God moves in there and people can be set free. Things can come up in your life that you never knew. And what happens, what it's all about, is at first it tells you, you know, what we're doing here. Secondly, it tells you about the kingdom of God and how to have the kingdom of God, understand the kingdom of God. And thirdly, it teaches you how to get rid of your dirty clothes. That's a sin in your life. It teaches you what the sin is. In the one book we had, it was so simple. I mean, I love the picture. He has a picture of a man standing here with a chain around his neck. And they got another person over here, and they take the chain and they throw it, and it grabs a hold of your shoulder, or, you know, your arm. Now, he's now bound to that person because of the sin. He just hurt that person, and that person is going to get kind of, he's tied up and he's trying to break loose. Not until does he forgive that person can he break that chain off. That sin still affects him and still causes, and he's fighting, and he's tied up to that other person. That's just simple. But that's talking about removing the sin from the situations that happen. I know of people who are still dealing with family situations in their lives. They went through, and they can't deal with them. They're having a hard time dealing with them. Why? Because they never got rid of them. That's crucifying your heart. That's getting rid of them. I've heard of people saying, well, I buried it. I'm doing good. No, you didn't. You buried it. The devil knows where it is, and he pulls it out all the time and gives you a hard time. And you keep walking in that misery. Get rid of the misery. God gave us a way to be set free. That's the very first foundation. And if it's not done in the body of Christ, we have problems. I've seen people so powerful in the Lord, and all of a sudden something will come in, and that devil grabs that stronghold, because those are all strongholds, and he'll flap them off the other side, and they fall down. They go crazy. They get into stuff they shouldn't get into. We know of a man, very powerful man, good teacher, awesome, and he got into a teaching that destroyed him. I'm thinking, how did he do that? Because he got so far into this teaching understanding, he lost reality because of the Holy Spirit. He didn't ask the Holy Spirit. But basically, what it was there was a person he followed. He started following, and all of a sudden, they said, you don't have to ever ask for forgiveness. That's the actual fact. They said, you don't have to ask for forgiveness. It's already taken care of. God did it on the cross. Jesus did a cross. All my sins were forgiven. From now until I die, I don't have to ask for anything. Whoops. That doesn't go along with what it says about the great high priest. If you sin, you better go ask him to ask you to forgive you. But see, it's the teaching, it's the doctrine, it's the things that happen out there. Situations go on. I mean, I can go down through a lot of different things I've seen and understood. But when you have your heart circumcised and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you'll learn a lot of things. You'll have a lot of revelation. Things will help you grow in what you need to do. But then you need to make sure the Holy Spirit is teaching people what you need to teach them from the Word of God. Because that revelation will help you grow. It will help you change. It will make you understand. But then when you start to get the revelation, that's what this is about. Once you circumcise your heart, man, that just got, it goes on down here. It's pretty cool. One of the things that has happened, before I go on from that point there, was this. Every time you have something happen to you, you have a yoke put around your neck. All your words spoken over you, all the teachings, all the things you start talking about yourself and all physical action, there's a yoke. That devil grabs a hold of that yoke if it's of the devil, if it's hurts and pains and strongholds. Not only do you have seeds in your hearts and they go down into your soul and they produce anger, frustration, hatred, bitterness, and the fruits that are around you are bad because of what's coming out of your heart. But these yokes are what the devil grabs a hold and pulls you. This is what religion is all about. If you're taught about a religion, immediately is locked on your throat. And I've said this before, and I'm hoping underneath the anointing today, because there is an anointing here, that you will hear what's going on and it'll give a resonate to you if you don't understand yet. Because as I was watching a video one time, it said in the Old Testament, they had the rabbis that would grab young men, bring them up, and they would teach them, and they would put a yoke around their neck. That teaching became their yoke. And they had to stay within that teaching because if they got out of the teaching, immediately they would lose being a rabbi. They would be kicked out. What does religion do? They teach you certain doctrines, things you got to do to stay in that. And if you get out, you kind of get kicked out, excommunicated. And through that process, Jesus was the same. He was a rabbi. He's the last rabbi. And what happened was he put a yoke on us. He says, my yoke is light. Why? Because it's the same principle they used back then. His teachings, his understandings is here. But if those other teachings are there, you can't receive the fullness of the yoke of Jesus Christ. You can't receive the full teachings of Jesus Christ. Thus, you're walking around in a problem. Here a while back, I was saying something about somebody was having some problems with another person. I says, well, all you just need to do is have a little more love. I go back down to Ephesians 4, 2, and 3. If you got that one, sir, I don't know if I put that one in there. I love this one here. Because if we can perfect this and our hearts so circumcised to where we have a heart of gold and a desire to serve God, then you will be humble and gentle and patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. If you have the love of God in you, you will look at a problem and you'll say, okay, I see it from God's goggles. We always have the goggles for the men, goggles for the women, and that's when the guy puts a goggle on from his wife and he sees things differently. But he looks from their viewpoint. So when you start to see from the eyes of God what's going on there, you're seeing things differently because you have the love of God in you. That's why I sit here and most people say, I can't stand that person. I can't stand that person. This is a problem. That's a problem. I see what's going on, and I know what the problem is, and I don't look at the person. I look at the devil behind them and the hurts and the pains that's in their heart, and they don't decide to change. So I said, Father, it's their problem. I give them to you. You take care of them, and we'll go on down the road. If somebody wants to get set free, there's a possibility. We'll work with you. We'll call you. I'll guarantee you what. Cheryl Scrivener has been sending me people to pray for, and that is because Thurman always did the deliverance, and she wasn't good on that one. She can do it, but she always prays for them. She always gives them the scripture, all the things. But if she feels they need a little more attention, she calls me, and she asks me to call. I'm calling all over the world, just calling the people. And I mean to tell you, people are getting set free left and right. And all I'm doing is going against exactly what I'm talking about. I'm getting them into their hearts to find out what's going on. I give them the revelation. I give them the wisdom. People are set free. Every once in a while, we'll find somebody that is having a hard time. So we might have to work with them a little time, but don't work with them a whole lot. The fact is, one time somebody started, they had three or four call, and I just got so mad. I says, I ain't putting up with it. They call me and they says, I'm, would you pray for me for healing? I went after it. I bust that thing up. I kicked that devil out. I had no problems with it. Boom, 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 it's gone. And guess what? They were healed right then. No problems. Didn't worry about whether they had any strongholds or not. They were healed. It can happen right here. We can get this thing going. There's issues on why, including you look at me, well, what's wrong with you? I know I've been praying that with the Lord too, so we're working on this one. I'm not coming against anybody. I got issues just like everybody else does. There might be something that God might tell you to tell me. If that's it, I'll be open to it. And we'll pray, take it before the Lord and see if there's something I'm supposed to do. If it is, I will. You know, I'm open. That's what it's about. Because God can use everybody. We're a team. No one here, just because I'm sitting up, means anyone's less than the other ones. We're all the team. So I praise the Lord on that. But I go back down to John 6:33-69. And at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted them. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you going to leave too? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You alone have the words that give eternal life. We believe them, and we know you are the Holy One of God. Why did they do that? The 70, and this is all about manna. I mean, I've heard people say, wow, I wish I had some manna. I said, why? Because they don't know the truth. They do not know the truth. Back then, they didn't know the truth. They could only see the old, but the former's better than the old, so we go back in the old because we've seen that. It's a physical thing. It's easy to go with, but the new is the spiritual. It's not as easy to go with, and Jesus was talking to them, and they started saying, oh, I wish you'd just give us a manna. And Jesus says, I am the manna. I'm the living manna. I'm greater than what you had, your ancestors had back then. I am the living manna. If you go back and look at that whole section. And then he says, but you got to have to eat my body and drink my blood. And they said, "Woo! Wait a minute here. This is not a good thing. I don't want to be a cannibal. Okay, see ya. That's what he said. Are you going to leave me too? See, they didn't know the truth. They didn't understand. So why did they say, Lord, to whom are we going to go? You have the words that give eternal life. We can't go anywhere. We're just going to be here. Why? They crucified their hearts when Jesus said, come follow me. They had to leave everything. They cut it out. They left their whole thing right there. Their family, their jobs, their clothes, everything. They just picked up and followed Jesus. That's crucifying your heart. Whew. That had been probably not too many people would do that. Exactly that way. And they followed Jesus all the way through. They didn't always understand everything. They didn't have all revelations. They didn't know what was going on. But that was the only reason they stayed, because the other 70 didn't crucify their heart. They weren't willing to stay with Jesus no matter what. They must not have knew him as the 12 did. You can get a revelation on that and ask to find out. What's different? What's happening? What's going on in my life? Why am I going through some of these things? They might be thinking you're going through this or going through that.
Ishadabakandarabakoyate.
I, the Lord God, am ready to give you the revelation. If you will only take the time and put yourself aside for a short time and ask me about these things. Listen and hear, because I am willing to tell you, you do not know how long I wait for get you to set free, to do the things that I've called you to do. I am sitting here, I am interceding for you and the throne of God, and I am just asking, would you please just take some time and come before me and prepare your heart that I might tear apart the old and bring forth my glory, saith the Father. There is a great war that's coming, and you need to be a part of it. Not in it, but you're going to change it, saith the Father. By your prayers, by your understanding, by you listening to me, I will have you move and change the situation. Even though it looks impossible to you, I will move through you as you listen to me and do your part and the others do their part. You will watch what I will do. Great and mighty am I, saith the Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Praise your name. Praise your name. Then on Joshua 5, 9, through 12, if you want to read that, dear.
Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt, so that place has been called Gilgal to this day. Well, while the Israelites were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. The very next day they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. No manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from that time on the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan."
Praise the Lord. So you realize once you circumcise your heart, I mean seriously, get in and circumcise. Get the hurts, get the pains out, all the things that's happened to you, all the things that hit you once in a while. The devil has a right to come in and say, "Oh, well, I was mistreated." I found people who have said, "My childhood robbed." There was a lady that I was talking to many years ago, and she says, she didn't say, the Lord said, "You feel like you had your childhood robbed." And she says, "Yes." That was her whole problem. And then all of a sudden, I found out that she was the oldest of like six, and her parents were busy, so she ended up having to take care of all the kids. That's how it was robbed. She didn't have a childhood. She was a parent. And I started praying with her, and God started to touch her heart and heal her of that hurt. And I says, and the Lord started saying, "I'm going to give you a new childhood. I'm going to let you receive what you should have had back then. I'm going to let you have some fun and enjoy because you are my child." And she got set free, and things started to change. That's what it's about. Some of us have been beat, destroyed, ruined. Even today might have the same thing going on. It's time to release it and get rid of it and let our Father teach us and replace what we had. I don't know whether there's a strong anointing on that one, a strong, strong anointing. I normally don't weep, but I'm starting to weep because God cares so much about each one of you. All the situations that's happened in your life, everything has to change. But I want to explain something. When I was reading that, it's not what he said. That was my revelation that I got from that. Because I'm always talking about the kingdom of heaven on earth. And you could have missed this because before you received the promised land, they received the promised land from God. God was providing manna to live by. Before they got into the promised land, he was providing for them manna to live off of. But he already promised them a promised land. He always promised them a promise. If you can remember that, he promised them a promised land. You have to realize that. when he did that, again, immediately what happened was when they went into the promised land, they didn't need the manna anymore. They might have wanted the manna. They might have wanted all that old stuff, you know, this stuff, because they were so used to it, something you like. But that's not what they needed anymore. They were able to eat off of the land of the promised land. I said, whoa, this just blew me away. Then I said, today, Hebrews 8, 6 through 9, if you read that there.
But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who meditates for us a far better covenant with God, based on better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, he said, "The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned my back on them," said the Lord.
Mm-hmm. What happened was, when I start reading this, there he said, "I'm giving you a new covenant." The new covenant happened when Jesus died on the cross. It became a blood covenant. A restoration of the kingdom of heaven on earth. You have to get a revelation. This is a revelation if you get this. It's a new covenant. It's a new understanding. It is the kingdom of God. And once we used to be in Egypt, the Heavenly Father, I mean Jesus, when he died, immediately washed that away. We're no longer slaves to sin. We have a new covenant. No longer slave to sin. That's why I even said, if you take, and you know, it used to be in the old covenant, it was Deuteronomy 28, but you say, you know, today, Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." You know what that righteousness does? It's love, peace, joy, happiness, meekness, mildness, kindness. That's his righteousness. In the Strong's, when I went back and studied that out, in religion, I always heard right standing before God. In the Strong's, in that actual Greek word, it meant act or character like God. You need to do that. You need to have love. If you don't have love, you can't do Ephesians 4. You won't be patient. You won't be humble. You won't be kind. And the faults will come up and drive you crazy because you don't have the love of God in you, because you never perfected the love. That's also crucifying your flesh, or your flesh, which is in your heart. When you crucify that and the flesh, when you circumcise your heart and you allow the love of God to come in you. I was thinking this one time, about righteousness, and we need to seek righteousness. And that's what the Bible says, he who seeketh righteousness. You need to seek righteousness. And they said, well, we've been told when we first was in this one teaching, we are righteous. We are the righteousness of Christ. Yes, you are, but you might not be walking in it. If you're not walking in it, what does it say earlier about what happened to the Israelites? They said they were disobeyed the Lord. If you're not walking it, you're disobeying the Lord. Whew, that'll get you going. You need to walk in it. How are you going to walk in it? You're going to get rid of the crap in your heart. Do what you have to get rid of it. And have a peace, walking in peace with love towards one another. Achieve. That's why I said we are all about Ephesians 4. And that's the very first thing. We need to be humble and gentle and patient. If you're not humble, gentle, and patient, you got a problem. And you better be checking it out, because you might be disobeying God. That's just a simple word. Because everybody has faults, including me. I need more love than anybody. Because I mess up a lot. And God loves me that much, he allows me to still be around and do what I'm doing, even though I mess up bad, in my opinion. You might not see it or think it, but I know it. I'm just telling you the truth. This is what God's saying. That's the very foundation. When we bit that foundation, make it strong, and somebody stands on it, when the wind blows, won't affect them. They won't be on sand. They won't build their house with straw or anything that's going to burn up or cause a problem. That's what it's about. I haven't pushed it hard enough. I'm not going to push it hard. I'm just going to make it happen. Each one of you, I love you and I care about you. I didn't know how the Lord was going to do it. I got two other points I can't get to today. Two other parts of the foundation that I was supposed to build when I first started, which I haven't done. And the Lord says, it's time to do it. And I says, okay, well, we'll work on it. There's things that he showed me that I need to do to change. I know he's not happy with me, with what I've done. He still loves me. He's giving me the opportunity to keep me going. And he knows that he gave me this opportunity because he knows that I can do it and I won't fall from it. Even though I might not get everything done the way he wants me to, he still wants me to go that way. So that's what we're doing. We might be, you know, we've got some people who are gone today, but the fact is, once we get this foundation found up and going, guess what? He did three different foundations. The first of them was crucifying the heart, getting the junk out, getting solid with the Lord, doing the will of the Father. The second one was knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. And the last one was coming along with the army, the Lord of hosts, getting into his will and his understanding. That's all three of the foundations. The other two foundations I'll talk about next week. But the reality is, when we do that, what happened to Joshua? What happened to the Israelites when they went into the promised land? They took out everything because they had victory. Many people try to go without having that foundation, and you won't have victory. You will fall down. Something will happen. The devil coming. Yeah, I was sitting back there, and the devil put a thought in my mind. If I'd seen that thought, I would have sat back and say, I ain't going up there and talk, Lord. I'm not worthy. I can't do it. The devil's always trying to fight you and he tries to get you going. And I'm thinking, man, why did that thought even come in my mind? That's a horrible thought, especially if I'm getting up to go talk about God. Whew. The devil knows how to push your buttons. And he gives you a right. If you give him a right to let it do it, he'll do it more and more all the time. He keep causing you problems. You get close to getting healed and all of a sudden, oh, no, I'm not worthy, and you just lose your healing. Seen that happen too, because they didn't know how to keep their healing. But anyway, we love you guys. We praise God for you. I thank God for the time away. I apologize. I blew it up on that Wednesday. That was not what I wanted. I didn't want to hurt anybody. I hope nobody got offended by it or hurt, because that would tear my heart up if it had it, because that's not what I intended or wanted. So, but I praise God, and if anybody needs healing, I will be here and I'll pray for you. We'll just believe that God's going to move and do what he wants to do and see what happens, because I don't know what he wants. I just know one thing. God loves you all, and we just thank you all for being here. And it's so good to see Mark and Angie and all you guys back here and just believing that God's going to do some great and magnificent things the rest of this year, even though the world's going crazy. We're not, because we love the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We thank you for this blessed time. We just give you each. We just pray that you will bless each and every one. Keep us safe until we meet again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.